Osho, the new dawn, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 32.
Beloved Bhagwan, I seem to have become very muddle-headed and scatterbrained lately. But unfortunately, there has been no corresponding upsurge of intelligence. Is this just a temporary lapse, or do I have a leak somewhere?
You are aware intelligence. But it often happens that the people who are intelligent don't have a good memory. And the people who are intelligent, if they are not a little eccentric, they are very flat and boring. You are not flat and boring. You are a bald cuckoo. And you can hear from the very morning the cuckoo is going sane. I have been listening for almost half an hour. A man who has intelligence is bound to be thought by many a little bit off the track. And in fact he is. Certainly he is not one of the crowd. To the crowd he is an outsider, a stranger. He dreams dreams which are not common. He hopes against hope, which looks to the common sense people absurd. He perceives far away things, imagines utopias. He is the very salt of the earth. And particularly, being a woman, you are even more rare. that man has not allowed women to be intelligent. Man has always kept them in an inferior position. Even the greatest men who are known to be compassionate have completely forgotten their compassion as far as woman is concerned. Perhaps there was a certain fear going against the whole manhood or perhaps they are not even aware what man has been doing to the woman. Even a man like Jesus treats women as if they are not human beings. Gautam Buddha did not allow for 20 years continuously any woman to be initiated into sannyas, because he was more worried about the future of his religion. Told frankly, the worry was not about religion, the worry was about the monks who were having repressed sexual energy. To bring the woman in was dangerous. Perhaps Buddha could have managed while he was alive, but how long he can be alive? After him, things will take their nature course. Mahavira was afraid. He is thought to be one of the most courageous men that has walked on the earth. Hence the name Mahavira. It is not his name given by his parents. It is an appreciation by the people. His name was Vardhamana. Mahavira means the courageous one. But even this courageous one was not courageous enough to declare that a woman is as capable of becoming enlightened as man. To me, these things hurt deeply. I appreciate these people, Jesus, Buddha, Mahavira, but I cannot totally appreciate them. Something is missing, and that something is about women. Mahavira was absolutely determined that no woman can enter into enlightenment through the body of a woman. And these are the statements of a man who is telling every day that you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are pure consciousness. And he is unable to see the contradiction. If consciousness is not the body, then it does not matter whether consciousness is in the body of a woman or in the body of man. Consciousness itself is neither male nor female. And this is true of all the religions. They have committed a crime for which they are going to pay, and pay highly. They have destroyed half of the humanity and its intelligence and its possibility of growth. Ananda is an intelligent woman. Somehow she has escaped from the trap. And all intelligent people are so individualistic that the crowd thinks about them that something is wrong with them, particularly about a woman. In the first place, she is not expected to be intelligent. In the second place, she is not allowed to be a cuckoo. And Ananda is both. And I love cuckoos. Because cuckoos will reach to enlightenment before anybody else. And a man or a woman who does not have something eccentric in him is not interested. He is too flat, too boring. That is small freak makes people more juicy. So Ananda, there is no need to be worried. There is no leak. And it is not just a temporary lapse either. You are a permanent cuckoo. But this is not going to hinder anything. It is going to help your growth immensely. This communion is of the outsider. This is not a gathering of the common sense people. All common sense people are against me. To be with me, you need some uncommon sense. Only then you can understand me. Memory one day has to go completely. If it is disappearing, It is a good sign. To be clean of memory means to be clean of past. And to be clean of past is to be absolutely open and available to the future. Memory is not of the future. Memory is of the past. It is always a graveyard. And the future belongs to life, to intelligence, to silence, to meditativeness. It does not belong to memory. Once a man becomes enlightened, he does not function out of memory. He functions spontaneously. And even on the path towards enlightenment, slowly, spontaneity goes on replacing memory. Memory is the way of the unintelligent man. One who cannot respond to reality immediately needs a memory system so that he can remember old answers, old situations, what he has done before. But then his response is no more a response. It becomes a reaction. And all reactions fall short to the situation that is ahead of you. Because the situation is continuously changing and your answers in the memory don't grow. They are just dead commodities. They remain the same. That's why as a person grows old, he finds himself getting out of touch with the new generation that is growing. The fault is not of the new generation. The fault is the old man has nothing but memory. And memory belongs to the past and the past is no more there. The new generation is more responsive to the present. That creates the gap. The old generation always wants old answers, old scriptures, old sayings. Older they are, the more truth. Every religion tries to prove that their scriptures are the oldest. It's strange that one should prove that. And they glorify in their ancientness. In fact, the more ancient they are, the more useless they are. Because they have lost touch with reality completely. The latest the man of consciousness and wisdom alive actually responds to the situation. Otherwise, your answers are all falling short and life becomes more and more a mess. So So there is no need to be worried about you are losing memory. And you see that you don't feel any parallel upsurge of intelligence, you will not feel it. Intelligence is so subtle that you will not feel its sound of footsteps. But slowly, slowly it will transform your whole being. And then suddenly when the work is complete, you will be awake from a deep sleep and you will see yourself as a new being, reborn. So as far as I see, everything is going perfectly good. And I am watching you every day because Anando is one of my secretaries. So I see her every day. She is growing. Becoming more and more silent, joyous, humorous, sharp. But man has energy. If you start becoming more sharp, more intelligent, from where you will get the energy? The energy that is involved and invested in memories has to be taken out. And there is no harm in the ordinary marketplace. Perhaps not to have a good memory can be dangerous. But if you look at the geniuses of the world, you will be surprised that one of the most common point amongst all those geniuses is their lapse of memory. Edison was going for a lecture tour to few universities and he is saying goodbye to his wife. And the maid servant is also standing there. He kisses the maid servant, thinking that she is his wife, and waves to his wife, thinking that she is her maid servant. The driver of the car who was taking him could not believe what is happening. He said, "Sir, you have forgotten, you have got mixed up. That woman is your wife, which you are waving, and that woman is your servant." He said, "My God. But there is no harm. I can get out of the fire and put things right. He gives his wife with to the maid servant, and he said it often happens that I forget very essential things. He had discovered more inventions than anybody else before or after. 1,000 inventions. Such a genius. But while he was working on a certain invention, his wife has to remember and take notes, because in the middle of the invention he will forget what he was doing. First the wife, because he used to keep notes on papers, loose papers, and then it became a problem because thousands of loose papers in his study, and he is rushing like mad looking into loose papers that where are those notes. The wife said, it is better you write down your notes in a diary. I don't understand science, how I can help you? So he started writing in a diary, then he started forgetting those diaries, where he has put the diary, where he has left it. Finally the wife started learning something about science and started taking notes, so that whenever he is in a trouble she can give him the notes. She had a good memory but no intelligence. But it was a good, fortunately, that she was with Edison. Once he forgot his own name, which is a rare, very rare phenomenon. I don't think it has happened ever, or it will happen again. To forget one's own name, that seems to be getting to the rock bottom of forgetfulness. You cannot forget anything more. Nothing is left. In the First World War, when ration cards were for the first time introduced, everybody has to go to register his name and get his ration card. And Edison also went, and he was standing in a long queue. Slowly, slowly the queue was becoming smaller, and he finally went into the front, and the clerk shouted loudly, "Thomas Alva Edison." And he looked all around, that who is Thomas Alva Edison? He asked the man behind him, "Do you know this fellow?" The clerk said, "It is the same. Where is this man, Thomas Alva Edison?" Somebody far back in the queue recognized that he was a world famous scientist. He has seen his pictures in the newspapers, He shouted from the back of the queue that you are Thomas Alva Edison, I can guarantee. He said, if you can guarantee, then I will accept. But as far as I am concerned, I have completely forgotten what is my name. Because almost for 50 years nobody has used my name. My students, out of respect, just call me Professor. My colleagues, out of respect, just call me Professor. And my parents have died very early when I was too young. So there is nobody who uses my name. Slowly, I have become accustomed to hear my name as the Professor. But I think you are right. Far away back, I remember, as if in a dream, I have heard Thomas Alva Edison. Perhaps that is my name. And anyway, nobody else is claiming. The clerk said, you seem to be insane. He said, that's true. Because the world is full of sane people. And those sane people do nothing at all. It is only the insane who have helped man's evolution. And this is not only about Edison, about many scientists, about many painters, about many poets. Once George Bernard Shaw was traveling and the ticket checker came and he looked all over. He was almost feeling a nervous breakdown because the ticket was not found. The ticket checker said, don't be worried, sir. I know, the whole world knows you. The ticket must be somewhere in your luggage. And I will be coming in the next run. Then next round, you can show me. And even if you don't show me, there is no need to worry. He was not ready to listen what Bernard said to him, that you shut up. You don't understand my problem. Who is caring about you? The problem is, if I don't get the ticket, then I don't know where I am going. It is written on the ticket. So you are going to decide for me? I am in such a trouble. The ticket has to be found. The ticket checker must have been taken aback that this is a strange situation. He is not worried. That he is being caught without a ticket, his worry is far more deeper. Now the question is where he was going. And because he could not find the digits from the next train, he has to come back home. He could not bring to his memory the place he was going. But all educational systems of the world had emphasized memory too much. And their emphasis on memory is a great conspiracy against humanity, because the whole energy has been focused on memory. Memorize more and more so that you can be successful in your examinations, and you can see what kind of success happens in the university. The people who get first class, the people who get first class first, the people who top the whole university, gold medalists, they are all lost in the world. You will never hear of them again. Because the world needs intelligence, not memory. Each moment intelligence is needed, not memory. My own understanding is that if we want to make humanity more conscious, more alert, more enlightened, then the emphasis from memory has to be taken away, and the emphasis has to be put on intelligence. But for universities, for professors, for pedagogues, emphasis on memory is simple. Just you ask 5 questions, and if the person can memorize the books, he can answer them. My own professor was very much worried because he loved me too much. Because I never bothered about the prescribed books. And he was too concerned that unless you answer exactly what is written in the book, it will be a great shock to all of us. You have the capacity to top the whole university, but the way you are behaving, you cannot even pass. I said, don't be worried. But he was so concerned that he used to come early in the morning to pick me up from the hostel and to take me to the examination hall. He was not certain whether I will go or not, whether I will remember to go or not. And he will stand there until I had gone in. And he will tell to every examiner that keep an eye on this student. Don't let him get out of the hall before 3 hours. Because he may answer within 1 hour and be gone. Force him that whether you answer or not, be 3 hours. I said, this is a strange. But the examiners heard him because he was also the dean faculty of ours. They were all under him. It was just a coincidence. And that's why I say life is so full of mysteries. All my professors, my vice chancellor, everybody was so surprised when I topped the university and got the gold medal. Nobody was hoping that. But a coincidence, one most famous professor of Allahabad University, Professor Ranade, he was well known that in his life he has given only 2 persons first class. That too was the bare minimum. Otherwise, it is very difficult even to get passing marks from him. And he was thought to be not only a professor but a sage. And he has written great books with great insight. There is no doubt about his intellectual acumen. Just by coincidence, my papers reached into his hands. And he wrote a note which the Vice Chancellor showed to me, because he has written in the notes that the notes should be shown to the students, that you are the only person in my life who has fulfilled my desire. I always hated the memorized answers. Your answers are so fresh. And so sad, to the point. You are not a man of memory. I wanted to give you 100% mark, but that may look a little suspicious, perhaps I am favoring you. That's why I am giving you 99%. But if you happen to come to Allahabad any time, I would love to meet you. Because in my whole life, long career as a professor, I have been waiting perhaps for you. I wanted this kind of answer. I wanted this courage. That rather than answering the question, you question the question. And you demolish the question completely. And you have not answered it because there is nothing to answer. The question is absurd. And when you answer a question, you answer to the point. And I don't want to read long answers which are all repetitive. Everybody else is writing them. Nobody is using his intelligence. And he was aware of the fact that memory is only mechanical. Intelligence is your real treasure. And now it has become an absolute fact. In the future, memory will not be used at all. Because you can carry a small computer in your pocket with all the answers for all the questions that can be asked. Even absurd questions, for example, on what day Socrates was married, or who was the first man to use the bow and arrow. Everything can be ready-made. You can get any answer from the computer. And computers can be so small you can keep them in your pocket. They can be so small that you can make just a wristwatch out of them. From the surface it will look like a wristwatch, but deep down it is carrying all the answers that you need. Just ask the question and the answer is there. It has happened in different areas before. Before fountain pen came into existence, people's handwriting was very beautiful because there was great emphasis on handwriting. As the fountain pen came into existence, those days of great handwriting disappeared. Before the calculators came into existence, everybody was able to calculate. Now even the greatest mathematician never does any calculation without the calculator. Without the calculator he is at a loss. He may have even forgotten that 2 plus 2 is 4. The calculator has demolished the great memory system about figures. And now the computers have come into existence. You may have a small computer, but it can be connected with a big computer. In your town, in your state, or in your country, from where every kind of knowledge is available immediately. You just put the question and the answer will appear on the screen of the computer. Just the other day, Anandu has brought man is such a strange animal that in America there is now so much use of computers that few criminals have started a new crime, that is erasing people's computers' memory. And they have found such a beautiful system that you will never know what you are doing. They simply advertise a certain puzzle or a certain game that can be played with the computer, between you and the computer. And those games are so interesting that people start playing those games on their computers. For few moments everything goes right, and that those games are made in such a way that when the game is over and you are absolutely satisfied with the game, the game that you have fed into the computer will start demolishing every memory that is in the computer. It will erase it blank. Next time when you will ask anything, no answer will come. Now there is a great fear. These people are very dangerous who have, and they are not getting anything out of it. Perhaps they are agents of the computer agencies which sell computers. Because if one computer is completely erased, you are bound to go and get another computer. So the computers market will go on. Always more demand than they can supply. Otherwise, I don't see the point that why somebody should start such a thing. He is not gaining anything unless he is being paid by the computer agencies. It seems as man becomes more and more intelligent, his crimes also become more and more intelligent. His criminal mind is far ahead than his effort to become enlightened. But Anandu, you don't have to be worried about your memory. What is essential is intelligence. And the whole energy should move towards intelligence. It will make you feel very light. And as far as memory is concerned, just use the notebook. Anything essential, fundamental, just note it down. Soon we will be having computers. But before that you can use a diary. And there is no leakage. Leakage as such never happens. Steady, Shan and Mick were out hunting one day when they came upon some tracks. After looking at them closely, Paddy said, "Those are deer tracks." "No, no," said Shan, "those are deer tracks." "Hey Mick," they both asked, "what do you think they are?" But before he could answer, all three were hit by a train. Intelligence is going to be the savior, not memory. A factory had a football game between the Polacks and the Italians. They played all afternoon, but neither team was able to score. Suddenly it was 5 o'clock. The factory whistle blew and the Italian team walked off the field. 20 minutes later, the Polacks scored the goal. Little Eddie said to his mother, "Mom, I want to be early at school this afternoon so that I can sit in the front seat. We are going to have a lesson on sex." When he returned home later that day, his mother noticed that he looked very sad and disappointed. "What is the matter, Eddie? Did not you enjoy the lesson?" she asked. "Hui," replied Eddie, "it was all theory."
Beloved Bhagwan, I find more and more that the most essential thing for me in relationship, as well as my strongest wish, is to be loved and accepted completely, exactly the way I am. Is this just another way of being needy and demanding? Will you throw some light on this confusion I am in?
Tamar. You have put everything upside down. I have been telling you, accept everybody as he is. Don't make demands that he should fulfill some ideal. Of your conditioning, that he should be according to your fancy. This is not the way of love, and this is not even the way to behave humanly. Love accepts the person as he is. Certainly, the acceptance of the person as he is brings tremendous changes in the person, but they are not demanded. They happen on their own accord. But you have put the whole story in an absolutely wrong way. Rather than accepting others as they are, you want them to accept you as you are. Your question is really funny. And it shows how you go on listening to me and making things which I have never said. I have never said such a thing in my whole life. And what I had said was just the contrary. You are saying, I find more and more that the most essential thing for me in relationship, as well as my strongest wish, is to be loved and accepted completely, exactly the way I am. Is this just another way of being needy and demanding? It is simply the way of being stupid. I have heard about a man who remained celibate to the very last breath. When he was dying, and he was very old, 90 years old. And he was not a religious man either. Why he remained celibate was a mystery. And many times people asked him, but he simply smiled and never answered. His friends had gathered and they said, at least now before you leave the body, solve the puzzle, otherwise it will torture our minds. And the curiosity will remain lingering and nobody will be able to find the answer. Only you can show us why you remain celibate. The man said, I can say it now. I remained celibate because I was in search of a perfect woman. The people around him said, could not you get a perfect woman? In 90 years lifetime search, he said, that is the most sad thing. Once I came across a perfect woman, but she was looking for a perfect man. Now, it is not in your hands or in your power that the others should accept you as you are. And you should be loved and accepted completely. You cannot enforce this kind of idea on anybody. Yes, you can love somebody as he is or she is without making any demands, but you have put everything upside down. Rather than becoming accepting of people, you have got a new idea, a very original idea, that you should be accepted as you are and loved totally and perfectly. Then you will never be loved. And you will never be accepted. And you will remain always empty, hollow. And you will live a life of despair. You have put the bullocks behind the cart. Now there can be no movement. Just bring a little intelligence and see what you are doing. This is not possible. And never ask for the impossible. Unless you are ready for a great frustration. Paddy telephoned the police in a terrible state. Officer, he cried, come over at once. The steering wheel, the gear stick, the clutch, the brake, and the accelerator have all been stolen from my car. A few minutes later, Paddy called back and said, I'm sorry, officer, no need to bother. I just realized I got in the back seat by mistake. Samar, you are in the back seat. The woman was watching the next door neighbor embarrassing on their front doorstep. One morning, she commented to her husband, "That's the most devoted couple I have ever met. Every time he goes out, he kisses her. Why don't you do that? Why should I?" It snorted her husband. "Reading his newspaper, I hardly know the woman." When I am speaking, please try to understand what I am saying. Don't continue to read your newspaper. Sally came home from her first date looking very pleased with herself. "How did it go with John?" asked her mother. It was all right until after dinner." Sally replied, "But on the way home, he stopped the car in a lonely lane and started kissing me to distract my attention. He then started feeling around inside my clothes. But I fooled him. I had hidden my money in my shoes." Thank you.